We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why do we insist on changing the things we love in sports just for the almighty dollar? Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff, today is one of the great days that we have in sports. It's the first day in earnest of the NCAA tournament. The games are going to kick off at noon Eastern time, and it starts a four-day frenzy of college hoops.
Right.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Why do the college basketball coaches, and I'm talking about Tom Izzo or the athletic directors like Greg Sankey of the SEC, why do they want to come in and meddle and tinker with something that we already love?
Wait, was that a serious question? Why are they making a change for the almighty dollar? What? Of course, that's all they do. This is college sports. What do you think it's about? Academics, Maggie?
No.
Of course it's about it's about money, so you have to follow the money. You know, they've always expanded. They went from 32 to 64 to 68, and now they're talking about 80 or 90 or whatever it's going to be.
100. That's
how college sports works. Of course they're expanding. Now, it's interesting to me that they are worried about this parity issue and that all the schools that people want to watch are getting knocked out. Because, look, we have NIL, we have G League, and we have Europe, and all of a sudden, the Blue Bloods are not there anymore.
Right.
It strikes me as very interesting about this sport. We see it in college football, too. I mean, there's parity. Washington was in the national title game. That never happened 8 years ago. Now, NIL is flattening that sport out. Imagine college basketball. I think they're terrified that they're going to have basically a team like St. Peter's in the Final Four playing, I don't know, Florida Atlantic, and people are paying to see Duke and Kentucky.
Okay. First of all, Duke and Kentucky still are blue bloods. They still can be these really dominant teams, and NIL might actually bring some of these players back from the G League and Europe back to college in the traditional American college system. But here's what bothers me about a couple things. So expanding to 100 teams, okay, you want to talk about that? Let's put that on the back burner for a second. Another thing that Tom Izzo and some of the other college basketball coaches want to do is get rid of the automatic qualifiers for mid-major conferences.
Right.
Right. They don't want the bid thieves.
Right.
They don't want a team that finished with 15 wins or 16 wins who gets hot for their conference tournament to win the conference tournament, get an automatic qualifier, but then you still need to put in, you know, a team from that conference who had 23 wins, and that takes away from a St. John's or a Seton Hall or an Oklahoma or whatever, and stealing these bids from the more bigger traditional conferences. If you want to get rid of those automatic qualifiers for the mid-majors, you don't understand the essence of the tournament. And it's hard for me because Tom Izzo claims to be a quote-unquote small school guy because he started in Division II. Well, you've been at Michigan State now for 25 years, give or take. Now you are a big school guy, and you've been a March guy. And I don't think that these coaches have a clear understanding of what the public actually wants. The public actually loves this tournament because of the underdogs and because of the Cinderellas. And that's what makes this unique. If we just wanted to see the ACC play the Big Ten, then the ACC Big Ten Challenge that happens in November would be one of the highest rated sporting events that we have. But it's not. The tournament is one of the highest rated sporting events that we have. And they don't understand. We want to see underdogs and upsets. That's what this tournament is about.
All right. What you say sounds logical, and of course nobody's watching the ACC Big Ten Challenge, but the reality is, look at last year. I mean, you're telling me that people wanted to see that group, UConn, Blue Blood, arguably, then San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, and Miami of Florida? No. That is not what people want to see. Maybe it was an anomaly. People do not want to see non-premier programs in the Final Four. That's just not...
Well, if when you and I started this show and we went to the Final Four in New Orleans the first year, it was North Carolina, Duke, Kansas. We had all the big teams. That, this is where
that's
everyone's
not happening,
freaking
guys.
Out about this when we don't even know if it's a trend.
It is a trend. There's absolutely... Basically, we've had two number one seeds lose in the last 6 years, right? Purdue and Virginia. We've had a number two seed lose 3 years in a row. This is going in one direction, and that's full on parity. And I think that's super fun in the early rounds, but you know it's not fun late in the tournament, and you know that's the direction this is headed.
Okay, but here's the thing. That's what makes the first. It's the setup.
Yeah, the early rounds are super fun like that, but where the big ratings come later in the tournament, that they're not going to deliver. They're going to have whatever. I mean, last year's Final Four was way down in the ratings. That's going to be the direction, and this is the cash cow for the NCAA. They can't afford to mess around with this. Yes, the Cinderellas are great, but when the Cinderellas are no longer Cinderellas and they're basically just like everyone else, then you lose something.
If you don't understand that the upsets are what change it from any other sporting event we have to the most exciting and the non-traditional part of this, then you have no clue what the public actually wants. To say that the ratings of the Final Four are down, first of all, that goes in waves. Listen, if you had Duke in the Final Four, do you really think that it's down? If you have North Carolina, it's not down.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, college basketball is not the sport it was when... Yeah,
and these changes won't make that any better.
Well, it's going to make, if they don't do some, well, this changes is not totally going to dictate. There's still going to be upsets, even if they do expand the tournament and knock out these automatic qualifiers. You're still going to have a ton of upsets. So it'll still be the magic of it. But they do have a genuine problem. I don't think that you can have mid-majors in the Final Four. And Duke is not, I'm not sure Duke's getting back there. I'm not sure Kentucky's a 3 seed, Duke's a 4 seed. When was that? I mean, it was never like that 15 years ago. North Carolina's a 1 seed that not a single person I know has penciled into the Final Four. You really can't trust the Blue Bloods anymore. I think this is more than a blip. I think this is a trend. I'm looking at everyone filling out their brackets out. Nobody's confident in these 1 seeds. Purdue, do you really feel good putting Purdue into your final after what they've done in tournament history? So I do think that there's a genuine trend in the sport where it's just full parity. And I do not think that's good for ratings, and I think they're worried about it.
But here's the thing. The tournament's bigger than ever in terms of the money that they're getting from the networks. So you can say that the ratings are down on the Final Four because Florida Atlantic was playing San Diego State, University of Miami, and UConn. But so again, that's 1 year that we've had that kind of craziness where you have 8 and 9 seeds in Final Four. So, but the revenue is just as big, if not bigger. This is all just about the major conferences who take their cues from football, by the way. This is all about them just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they want to justify, hey, we are the bigger conferences. We deserve to get more teams in. And my response to that would be, if we cared so much about your conferences from top to bottom, your conference tournaments would be the highest rated thing that we watch. But instead, it's when you get the underdogs in and when you get those out of nowhere Cinderella schools, that's where you get the country's attention. The conference tournaments are fun and good, but that's not the must-see TV. The must-see TV is a 15 seed going up against a 2.
Well, I think that's because the stakes in the conference tournament are not that big.
No, they are now. That's why everyone wants to get rid of the automatic.
Well, generally, though, I think you know most of the good teams are going to get, even if they lose, you know, obviously my Tennessee Volunteers got killed in the conference tournament.
They got a 2 seed.
Yeah, it didn't affect anything.
See, exactly.
Right, right.
The good teams still get in.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. You're going to still have a lot of upsets. But I disagree about this. Yes, 2 years ago you had that Duke, North Carolina, Kansas Final Four.
Yeah.
But look at the finals. You get Baylor against Gonzaga. That's not blue blood and blue blood. In 2019, you had Virginia against Texas Tech. That is, I grew up watching Duke play Michigan. This is definitely a different sport.
And listen, then take it up with Duke and Michigan.
Well, it's just too hard because of one and done, NIL, G League, Europe. There's so many reasons. You're just not going to have this power structure where the really popular teams get to the top. I don't think that's ever coming back.
Oh, I wouldn't count that out. I mean, Adam Silver is already saying he's reconsidering the entire G League because NIL, and if you make the college players employees and start paying them in-house, I think you are going to see a return to the more traditional powerhouses. But again, I want to keep the Cinderellas there. I want to keep...
Well, they'll be there. You know they'll be there.
Even not if, you go if they to, all have to play go, each other in some early tournament for the right to get into a 64-team bracket, which right. is what they're talking about.
But you know, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have... If they all play each other, they're going to be tournament tested. They're going to get a lot of momentum. The 10-7... You know, every year we've had one of these play-in games. Somebody advances from the 10-7 game, usually the Sweet 16. Maybe that helps those small teams, and then they get some momentum going, and you separate the good teams from the bad teams. You know upsets aren't going anywhere.
So here's the thing. We're talking about changes that could be coming to the NCAA tournament. As the tournament's kicking off in earnest today, by the way, we're going to have plenty of experts on to help you fill out brackets last minute. Don't worry, we got you covered head to toe. But here's the other thing about it. I just don't understand why this is not like the will of the people. When it was college football and you had the BCS system, it was broken. Nobody thought that that was the best way to crown a college football champion. Or people had issues with how the BCS determined who was the college football champion. Okay, then they go to the college football playoff. You go to four. Four is better, but obviously because four is so popular, then you're going to go to 12 or 14. And we're going to be going on and on and up and up and up. Because there was actually a need, I think, by the public to say, hey, we need a better system to determine who is going to be the national champion. Who is complaining about the men's basketball, women's basketball tournaments not crowning a proper champ? We already know that with the one and done situation, it creates this incredible drama. And yeah, the one seeds might get knocked out. But I don't think anyone was complaining that the national champion was fraudulent, fugazi, that it didn't actually, you know, reflect what was going on in college basketball. We saw that champion and we acknowledge that was the proper champion for that year. Nothing was broken about this.
Right, but is anyone even going to notice or care if they go to 100? By the way, the BCS was a huge improvement of what was there before the BCS.
Sure. But again,
so
people
go to 100. What's the difference? Like, so all this is true. The tournament's still going to have all its charm. If you expand to 100, it is silly. I understand, but it's not going to affect. I mean, maybe it makes a bracket harder to print. I don't know what's the downside. Is it going to affect fandom in any major way? No, of course not.
Okay, so we had Jordan Cornette, who came on the show 2 days ago, and he was awesome. And he's calling games in Pittsburgh today. Definitely listen to him on Westwood One. He played at Notre Dame. He was dope. And what is the thing he said we asked about the NIT and why St. John's and some other schools that didn't want to go to the NIT? And he said, it's a loser's tournament. And the villagers rejoiced. You guys loved it. Pete loved it. Said this is the best guest we've ever had on the show. No one wants to hear about the NIT. Essentially, you're just combining the NIT and the NCAA tournament. So if you thought all those people were in the loser's bracket, now you've just expanded the NCAA tournament, the proper one, to include what you guys deemed the losers.
I totally disagree with that. You're telling me this, say a team 68 through 100 will be in an NIT-like tournament? Not at all, because they're still alive in the tournament. So those games don't really matter.
It's watered it down. You guys, who do you think the next...
Honestly,
what's
I don't
the
even
pool,
think
the next 64.
Really, I don't even think we're going to notice this change, because when they went from 64 to 68, I was like, "Huh, that's weird." But and they play this play-in tournament that people barely watch. Who cares? It doesn't affect the tournament at all. Did that maybe it's such a small expansion? Did that weaken the tournament? Of course not.
You don't watch it.
No, I don't. Well, I watched a little last night because I wanted to see this pro prospect out of Colorado. Oof, but generally, no, I'm not. I watched a little bit of the 16-16 last night. It's not. It's like a, you know, I know that I have so much basketball coming on Thursday and Friday. I can't spend the energy on Tuesday.
Okay. How do you think they're going to set this tournament up?
Well, yeah, but so.
You're going to be watching now on Tuesday and Wednesday. It's just going to be expanded the first 2 days.
Right. But so what? So I'm still going to be fired up come Thursday. It's not going to affect. I'm not. You're saying BCS go from.
Half the tournament would have been over by the time you get to Thursday.
So you're telling me you are less interested in the NCAA tournament if they expanded?
No, I'm just saying you guys thought the NIT was a loser's bracket, right?
Right, because it doesn't go anywhere. This expanding NCAA tournament, you're still in the tournament. It's still a big deal.
But you don't think that the quality of teams in the NIT also makes it the loser's bracket as well? Like the fact that nobody thinks those teams are that good?
That's what I'm saying.
But the NIT
waters down the field, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it waters down the field, but I don't care. What's the difference? We're going to get to the round of 32 and Sweet 16 eventually. The NIT, if you told me the NIT, the winner of the NIT got to go into the NCAA tournament, then all of a sudden I'm watching the NIT tournament. That'd be really cool. That could get Pete even back on board. I don't know if there'd be time to do it.
There's no shot. Pete is out on the NIT forever
Zero
and always.
Chance.
But the reason the NIT is a loser's bracket because it doesn't go anywhere. Like, are you going to, if you win the NIT, nobody cares.
But I think the reason why you don't watch these first four games is not necessarily just because you have more basketball coming. I think it's because there's an expectation that Colorado or Boise State, and maybe it's a poor expectation because we've seen these teams go to the Final Four and go deep, but there's an expectation that those teams really aren't that good and they probably aren't going to be around long anyway.
Right.
Like, if they put North Carolina and Duke in the first four, you're watching.
Right, but I won't watch. You're right. The 68 through 100 teams, I probably won't watch a ton of that, but it's not going to water down my experience for the whole tournament. I mean, come Sweet 16, I'm going to be glued to the TV. We all are.
Right, but again, so who's it for? It's not for you. Who's it for? That's why
to get some of these big programs back into school and maybe knock out some of these little guys so they don't go all the way. I mean, it's a shortcut.
I've never heard someone root for Goliath. I really haven't.
They're not rooting for Goliath necessarily.
No,
yeah,
you
I guess
are.
They are.
You are. You
well, I understand how this sport works. Like, first of all, they're losing appeal to college football. College football has become so big. The balance is crazy shifted towards football. So I do think they can't have this parity. It's stupid. I'm being a realist here. I am looking at the bottom line, and if I'm NCAA, I need this money. They desperately need college
They're
basketball to be a
thing.
They're
making money hand over fist. It's going up and up and up. Money is not the problem. They're getting every dollar.
Eventually, if their ratings go down every year, which has kind of been the trend, that eventually they're not going to get all this money. I mean, they're making a lot of money because live sports are the most valuable thing on TV. That's all TV is now.
Right.
But generally, you don't think
okay,
this is a
problem?
Okay,
but the ratings going
down. This trend is bad.
The ratings going down on college hoops is something that doesn't have just one father. Like, no. There's not one reason why that's happening. It's a multitude of reasons, which starts with, I mean, one and done's, although I still think we were watching, even one and done's now been around for a while. You're talking about watered down, you know, guys going to the G League, stuff like that. Guys not sticking around. We don't have the stars in college hoops like we did. And, I mean, that's something that I don't think expanding a tournament or taking away automatic qualifiers, that's not going to bring people back.
No, it won't. But it won't hurt it. I mean, there's no way. Expanding a tournament, there's no way the ratings go down even further because of this. I mean, maybe those early rounds won't get big ratings. But I think they're thinking, well, maybe we'll get Michigan State, or maybe we'll get a NC State or some, at least a bigger school to get on deeper because you knock out some of these small schools. I don't know. It seems harmless to me. I'm not bothered by this. I've seen people say, like, oh, my God, expand the tournament and the sky's going to fall. They've expanded the tournament before and everything's been just fine. So, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, the Final Four is going to be awesome. The Elite
Not
Eight,
according to you, if well, Florida Atlantic happens to make it in.
Okay. Yeah, I'm being realistic. Were you excited about last year's Final Four field? When you saw that, were you like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited for these Cinderellas?
I watched it just like I watch it every single year. Because I'm going to watch the Final Four.
Mm.
Was I excited about it? Sure. Why not? I was excited about UConn.
I don't even remember which teams played. I'll be honest. It was Florida
Atlantic. San Diego State and UConn in the final.
Yeah, I know. Who played who in the four? I don't even
Florida
remember.
Florida Atlantic played San Diego State.
San Diego State.
Oh,
UConn
yeah.
UConn played Miami.
Yeah, I think
which was also part of some of the issue for people because you would have wanted to see probably the two power programs against the two right. smaller programs.
I was actually at that game, and I didn't even remember that. I was there.
That's a you problem, Perloff. That's a you problem.
But yeah, I mean,
that's not the public.
Last year was a weird year. I mean, the lack of star power is a big deal. We were talking to our boss earlier. He said that ask the casual fan to name two men's college basketball players, they might be stuck. The casual fan. The women have surpassed
sure,
them
sure.
in
that's
that
fine.
Realm.
Okay, and I would come back to our boss and ask him how many brackets he's filled out. And I bet the answer is one at least.
Right.
And that's the cool thing about the tournament is and the barrier to entry and to have fun in this tournament as either a diehard fan or a casual fan is so low. Because Mary in accounting, who's never watched a game, can win your pool, it becomes accessible to everybody. And I don't understand why we want to take that charm where there's no charm left in college sports whatsoever because it's all become one big money grab. Why would you want to take that charm away?
Well, and how are you taking that charm away?
Because you're not having those smaller schools, the underdogs, the Cinderellas.
I mean, there will be some, though. I mean, going to if they knock out some early,
I know, but you don't want them. You don't want St. Peter's. I didn't want them.
They're still going to be around. The expanding to 100 is not going to kill all these teams. And honestly, it'll probably work against the NCAA. I'm telling you, they're going to gain some momentum. And they're going to play in these early rounds to knock each other out and kill it in the next round. Because college basketball can't help itself. These underdogs are here, and they're going far. Look at this year's bracket. I mean, all the trends, all the stats, all the numbers say, do not trust the higher seeds. These smaller schools are going to kill it this year.
I know. And don't you think that's why people want to tune in? If we knew what was going to happen and we knew all four number one seeds were going to advance, it's not as fun.
You know, as a fact, it's fun early, but by the end, college basketball, the powers that be want the blue bloods.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, that's one thing that's got us fired up today. And by the way, we've got games. We've got the first day of the tournament. This is a holiday for people like us. So we're so excited that it's finally here in earnest. We've got a lot more for you. Caleb Williams Pro Day yesterday. We've got updates from that. We also have one of the wildest sports stories I've seen in a while. It is potentially illegal behavior. It is a superstar face of the sport that is wrapped up in this. It is a crazy scandal, and we will give you the details of it next. Maggie and Perloff on this very busy Thursday. Do not move. CBS Sports Radio.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the new Hyundai Tucson, available with complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Now it's easy to use your phone to control your Tucson. We are watching live Major League Baseball. And the big free agent side of Yamamoto is getting shelled for the Dodgers. Although, Maggie, I got to tell you,
there
is nothing cleaner than a white Dodgers uniform popping here. Unfortunately, they're getting shelled by the Padres. Am I allowed to do the score here? Yeah, Padres go up 5-0 in the first inning.
Top of the first, two outs, and it's 5-0 San Diego. This is not the type of debut you wanted.
The Mets fans in the building celebrating because it looks like maybe they dodged a bullet with this guy, although EJ claims it's still spring training, so it doesn't count.
No, we're not. Yes, we are.
So this is what's crazy about this is maybe you could forgive Yoshinobu Yamamoto if he was a little distracted because of what's going on around the Dodgers right now, which is a massive potential scandal that's unfolding right before our eyes. Now, I can give you a little of the TikTok of this because the story is still coming out. And in fact, the story is still changing. So let me give you the up to the minute of what we have. The up to the minute is that Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, who's been with him going back to Japan and has been with him this entire time in America, is first told a story to ESPN. And they to ESPN, we know for sure that he got involved with an illegal bookmaker, had been placing bets, not on baseball, according to him, but had been placing bets and had lost upwards of $4.5 million. This is Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, who has a gambling problem, who has lost $4.5 million to an illegal bookmaker. That bookmaker is being investigated right now by the feds, and they're looking and seeing, well, who were some of your clients? And now here's Shohei Ohtani. His name has appeared as part of repaying these debts, Perloff. So the interpreter first tells a story that he's fallen into $4.5 million of debt and that he went to Shohei Ohtani and Ohtani agreed to help him pay back some of this debt to an illegal bookmaker.
Mm-hmm.
The interpreter said he watched Ohtani go into his own computer and to create a wire transfer, multiple wire transfers of $500,000 to send to this illegal bookmaker in Southern California where sports betting is not legal, is not legal. And that's the original story. The story has since changed. Mm-hmm. And now it's Ohtani had no idea that the interpreter had gambling debts, no clue what was going on, never paid back the illegal bookmaker, and that, in fact, Ohtani has been the victim of massive theft.
Wow.
So this is a crazy story because there's one, or maybe there's several different reads on it. One is that Ohtani was basically trying to help out a friend who had fallen on really hard times. And let's talk about their relationship for a moment. This is not your average relationship. This is Ohtani's interpreter who's interpreting messages from his manager, going over scouting reports. I mean, they are tied at the hip. It's more than just a business relationship. They are also friends. So you can read it as Ohtani's helping out a friend who fell into hard times. There's another read on this that follow the paper trail and Shohei Ohtani's name is on multiple wire transfers to an illegal bookmaker for $500,000 a clip.
It's so funny to me. If you said any star was on a bookmaker's records, that would immediately be this gigantic scandal. And this is developing to that. But I feel like Ohtani has already effectively distanced himself to some extent, because the first headline that came out was this guy is robbing Shohei Ohtani. Somehow his people changed the narrative immediately, so it wasn't about Ohtani being on a bookmaker's books. Like, that could have been the headline too. Ohtani linked to gambler could have been the headline. But the first headline I saw on ESPN yesterday was interpreter steals from Ohtani. So it's really interesting how this narrative is developing.
Yes. The first one is Ohtani is the victim of this theft, yes. Right? Then you just dig a little bit into the story and it's like, oh, well, that's the latest. What happened 24 hours ago when this interpreter was still laughing, joking around in the Dodgers dugout in South Korea before he got fired on Wednesday? This is Tuesday. He's there with Ohtani laughing and they're joking around like everything's fine. And now this has changed so much with him being fired yesterday. He did, the interpreter that is, again, Mizuhara, he addressed the team after the Dodgers win yesterday. So he goes into the clubhouse, he addresses the team and wants to give them a heads up that this story is coming out. And that's when Ohtani may have changed his tune about being, complicit in covering this guy's gambling debts to now he's the victim of fraud.
You know, it's funny, too. This case is going to play out in California. The fact that we're talking about an interpreter and a different language is going to make this case wild, because you know that. So they're going to be in court, and I assume he's going to have a different interpreter.
Yep.
It already seems like the difference in language is causing some chaos behind the scenes of the story. Like, his teammates don't even really know what's going on. I'm not even sure that Ohtani knows exactly what's going on.
Well, that was another detail of the story, that maybe yesterday when the original interpreter is coming clean and doing this mea culpa to the Dodgers, like, hey, I want to give you a heads up, this story is coming out, it's Ohtani like looked confused and they brought in another interpreter. And after that, Ohtani then said, you know, really lawyered up and said, this is, I've been the victim of a massive fraud.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. It's really funny. To the interpreter has been a character in our lives. Like, everyone knows Shohei's interpreter, and you always wonder, you know, because when you're interpreting, you kind of change the words a little bit. I think we've always wondered, is he saying exactly what Shohei is saying, or is he massaging that message? So there's a lot going on here. Are we in the beginning of a giant scandal?
Yes, because I think we're in the beginning of a giant scandal, because there's already two lies, I think, that are 100% lies. And tell me if you think they're lies.
Hit me.
Two lies on this. One, the interpreter saying that he racked up $4.5 million worth of gambling debts, betting on sports, didn't realize he was doing it with an illegal bookmaker.
Okay,
that is absolute 100% lie. His credibility now goes totally out the window with that simple lie. Yep. I met him at a poker game in 2021. I have a DraftKings account, but I decided to go with this illegal bookmaker. Why? Because betting's illegal in California. You can't sports bet in California. So that's definitely a lie.
Yeah, I think we'll 100% agree on that. Yep. What's the second lie?
Okay, the second lie is that Ohtani, I think, wouldn't have known about it. How are these guys going to be this close? And could he really have not understood that this is the second lie? This is kind of the cover up now, is that Ohtani had no idea. Somehow the $500,000 wire transfers have Ohtani's name on it. Mm-hmm. They're not alleging this guy's committing wire fraud.
Yeah, but when somebody extorts from somebody else, you can hide it. Even really, you know, that's how extortion works.
Or it's not extorting.
Not extortion. What do you call embezzlement? I'm sorry. When you embezzle from your boss, you're presumably doing it secretly.
No, but Ohtani is the one who signed off on these. They're not. Yeah, they're not alleging this guy is wire fraud. They're just saying Ohtani didn't know that what the 500 grand was for.
I think there is possibility that this, this interpreter is a bit of a criminal.
Yeah.
He might have fooled Ohtani into something here. I think it is possible Ohtani did not know exactly what was going on, because the interpreter, I assume, could have lied. We've already proven he's a liar. How do you know he didn't lie to Ohtani and say it was for something different?
Well, so he's going to break into Ohtani's computer and cut these $500,000 wire transfers to a legal bookmaker. Ooh. He's going to jail forever.
Well, now, okay, that actually makes more sense now you put it that way. I'm just saying, generally, when you embezzle from someone really close to you, this happens all the time. For some reason, I'm thinking of Selena, which is one of my favorite movies with J-Lo.
Mm.
Her head of business was stealing from her quietly for 10 years and eventually killed her, unfortunately. But generally, this is how embezzlement works, possibly. Can you imagine a scenario where Shohei actually did not understand what was going on? I can. Also, too, this guy is a gambling addict. He's sick. He probably lies a lot.
Right.
And so he's probably lying to Ohtani. I think that at least that's conceivable. I'm willing to suspend belief and think that Shohei can distance himself from this. Am I naive? Possibly.
I think that's not giving him enough credit here. I mean, I think that Shohei, unless this guy who gave, again, this 90-minute interview to ESPN where he essentially said he came clean to Ohtani and Ohtani was going to help him out, I can't help but kind of believe that, considering the relationship was so close, that this guy would have said, hey, I need your help. And he also said, they said, well, why didn't Ohtani just give you the money to pay back the bookmaker? And he goes, well, Ohtani didn't trust me with that money because he thought I would gamble it away.
Yeah. So if Ohtani did pay for his debts, what are we looking at here? Is that suspension? I would imagine.
Without a doubt.
I mean, but I don't think it's a...
They're going to claim that Ohtani didn't know what he was doing and didn't know what he was giving to them. But, I mean, at some point, is, like, ignorance not an excuse? I don't know. Because you're definitely writing out $500,000 wire transfers and the, like... reason was just a quote-unquote loan.
Yeah, and you're only making $2 million a year. You're on time.
Yeah, I know.
With that weird contract. Just kidding about that. Obviously, he's making millions in sponsorship. Here's the next level of this story. His friend is in major gambling debt.
Yep.
He's linked now specifically to an illegal bookmaker. Did he do anything on the field that was his behavior affected? Probably not, because he killed it on the field. It's hard to imagine he was losing games or something. But that's why this new sports gambling world is so dangerous, and that's why MLB's got to watch this like a hawk. What if Shohei let off the gas in the seventh inning? I don't think this ever happened.
Right,
but that's the overall fear, right?
Well, not just that. So the interpreter is claiming that he never bet on baseball. Again, why would we ever believe you?
Right.
you're sliding down into seven-figure gambling debts. You have access to this inside information.
You're just betting college football? Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. You're betting the Chargers on the road against Green Bay? No way. Like, this is, I would find that extremely hard to believe. And the $4.5 million, did he use baseball and his inside knowledge to get himself out of an even bigger debt? He claims he's like, I'm the worst gambler of all time. That we understand, sir. But did he have $5.5 million in debt and use baseball inside information potentially to get it down to $4.5 million? Clearly, this dude is desperate, right? So this is a crazy, crazy story.
I mean, Ohtani is the sport's biggest star. There is no doubt about that. This is going to be here for a long time. It'd be terrible for baseball if they link Ohtani to all this and he really gets a death penalty. That would be awful.
Well, if he deserves to be linked, then he deserves to be linked. I mean, but we can't just put our head in the sand.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I'm just saying, as a fan, that would really stink not to be able to see Ohtani play. And also, you know, MLB's thinking the same way. They are praying that Ohtani is somewhat innocent here.
Pat Boyle is in this morning doing updates for us. Pat, you want to expand on this story at all, sir?
Yeah, I just, to add some comedy to it, I saw yesterday somebody tweeted, was like, what do you think? Do we think Rob Manfred would actually have the stones to suspend Shohei Ohtani? And somebody said, they'll just defer the suspension till the end of
his 2030. Very cute.
Yeah, so on the field first, game two, Major League Baseball season in Seoul, South Korea, and 5-0 Padres, bottom of the first, although that might change right now. Freddie Freeman just ripped one into the gap. But most importantly, a rude MLB greeting for Yoshi Yamamoto, got tagged for 4 hits, 5 runs in his first ever start in the very first inning. Joe Musgrove on the mound for the Padres, and yes, a Freddie Freeman RBI double brings in Shohei Ohtani, so it's 5-1 bottom first. And you guys mentioned the Ippei Mizuhara news from yesterday. Ohtani's interpreter fired the $4.5 million in wire transfers. That's a wild story.
This is someone we're going to be... This story's going to be in our life for a while, everyone, so buckle up.
I feel like if this was... He's extremely lucky that the NCAA tournament is today. Like,
and they're in Korea.
This is the kind of story that, like, would, like, I think our attention just for temporarily will turn to the NCAA tournament today. If not for that, this would be the number one story for the next week, I think. This is incredible.
And what did Ohtani know? When did he know it?
Right.
And what did he think that 500,000, the a million, the two $500,000 wire transfers were for? These are questions we need to answer.
Any money that comes out of Ohtani's pocket will be subject to suspension.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what it's for.
No,
it's going to be linked to that, as you said.
Again, the ignorance is not going to be an excuse here. He gave money to an illegal bookmaker who's now getting busted by the feds and taking everyone down with him. Wow.
Yeah, what do we think? His interpreter puts a million on Wagner, win it all back.
Knowing this guy, I think he's probably betting, first round NIT.
I hope he didn't bet the under in this game.
probably put it on Purdue last year.
By the way, as far as the news cycle, Dak Prescott's brother will probably tweet on Tuesday in the NFL. Don't discount the NFL. They'll be in there, too. I know it's the middle of March, but I'll bet you Ohtani's probably like, hey, Cowboys, can you sign Dak so no one's talking about it?
We're less than six away from the madness. We officially have our field of 64. The last first four games last night, the Grambling Tigers out of the SWAC took down Montana State in the 16th seed matchup, 88-81 in OT. And then in the battle of the 10 seeds, Colorado stifled Boise State, winning 60-53. Here's Buffs coach Tad Boyle. That's right, our very own Dave Shepard here on CBS Sports Radio last night.
It's a business trip for me. And I'll say everybody.
What you got to have good individual defenders, but you have to be connected as a team. And, you know, whether it's playing out of rotations, whether it's playing, you know, ball screen defense, whatever the case may be, you know, you got to have good individual defenders. But more importantly, you got to be a great team defense.
Today, first few games include Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans going up against Mississippi State, Akron, Creighton, Long Beach State, Arizona, and yes, Wagner versus North Carolina. Do you guys have a trendy upset pick for today? Have you talked about that yet at all so far?
We're going to do that later.
We are doing it later, but also, just so you know, CBSSports.com, you can enter our tournament, Pearl Jam Season 3. Our pal Nick in Texas is the mastermind behind this. It's absolutely free. You can play alongside us. I just want to also do a quick PSA. So I filled out that bracket yesterday on my phone.
Yeah.
Went to the website, and it didn't save any of my picks. So just double check. And I pushed save. The mobile was not simpatico with the desktop.
It just scared me because I did it on my phone as well.
Go check CBS Sports and see if you're still there.
Sorry, by the way, the Grambling Montana State, they play Purdue now. Everyone's talking about it. Is that a danger spot? I know. And I saw a lot of people said Montana State matches up well with Purdue, but I don't know about Grambling. But I know Maggie is not high on that particular number one seed.
Well, the last year, obviously, they lose to FDU in the first round. And everybody remembers they lost to St. Peter's. That was in the Elite Eight. That wasn't in the first. Like, they got all the way to the Elite Eight and then got dumped by a 15 seed. So,
but you're telling me you're not going to do
the Sweet 16?
Yeah, Sweet 16.
We're going to do a drive-by on that number one versus number 16 seed. That is like, ooh, boy.
Well, Seth Davis last night is like giving a breakdown about why this particular Grambling team is similar to St. Peter's.
And
boy. What are we talking about?
Again?
Can this actually happen again?
I mean, if you're a Purdue fan, you're a little nervous.
A little.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you just got to get that first round game out of the way, then you're fine. But that first round game is probably the scariest game for the Boilermakers.
Yeah, lastly, you guys started with March Madness, how the tournament's currently constructed. Should we expand the tournament beyond 68 teams? Many coaches have been asked this recently. Kentucky's John Calipari certainly had a fiery response.
It's a business trip for me. And I'll say everybody that's in this thing, I would say they'd say the same thing. Keep it where it is. Don't mess with something that's great. And the committee, literally, don't care. Whoever's on it's going to get the same grief that this group got, the last group got. It's what it is. No science to this. You're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah. He's right. No matter, there could be 100 teams. We'll be arguing about the 101st. You know, and
totally.
Yeah, you're never going to please everybody. And then the other part of this, they want to put some retired coaches on the committee, like Jim Boeheim and Coach K, and have some of these retired coaches so it's not just athletic directors and conference commissioners or whatever. Fine, but are they going to have biases?
That's the worst idea. Every time I keep hearing put Jim Boeheim in there so he can help out his buddies and his friends who are not
the small conference schools,
but the big conference schools. No, that is the last thing we need. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think it's put in big name guys who are friends with all the Power Five coaches. That makes no sense.
Well, maybe Calipari can be there next year if Kentucky goes out early. Like that party's coming to an end in Lexington. I mean, everyone must be thinking that. I mean, how many times is this guy going to lose now?
Got some Caleb Williams Pro Day sound for you guys. Scores from the NBA last night, women's college tournament.
Save it for us. Yeah, we'll get to that. Pat, we're happy to have you in with us today. It's an exciting day in sports. This is one of the best day in sports today and tomorrow.
Pro Day sound. I'm tempted. What is a Pro Day sound? Let's go.
We will get to that. Lots of news coming up from Pro Days. And again, this Shohei Ohtani scandal that is unfolding as we speak while he's playing in South Korea right now. You cannot make it up. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio. Welcome back. Baggy Gray, Andrew Perloff. NCAA tournament starts in earnest. We got baseball on. We got a massive scandal unfolding in Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter got caught up in a gambling scandal. And either Ohtani knew about it and helped him cover his debts with an illegal bookmaker, or Ohtani is the victim of massive fraud.
Wow. The Dodgers already took out Yamamoto after one inning. They're down 5-1. This $325 million pitcher, that's kind of wild.
Well, for you guys, these games don't even count. Because they're in South Korea. It's weird that they're going to come back and play more spring training games, and then we get opening day part two.
I just remember I spent a ton of time during Hot Stove thinking about this. I tried to get him to the Phillies, used all my powers. And
how'd that go?
You forget that sometimes you pay a lot of money for players and it does not work out.
It's the first start. I mean,
oh, he's done.
The first start.
Got pulled after one inning.
You got a massive scandal that's involving people from his home country that's, you know, just unfolding all around him. I think we can give him a pass.
No way. Five runs in his first inning ever in Major League Baseball for one of the richest pitchers of all time.
Yeah, get it out of your system.
I hope so.
He'll probably
for the
rebound and win the Cy Young. Okay. Yesterday, some pro days. We'll get to Caleb Williams at the top of the hour, but quickly, Marvin Harrison Jr. No workouts again for Maserati Marv Perloff. You think this is revealing about the top wide receiver from Ohio State?
So I've been reading about Marvin Harrison Jr.'s athletic skills for a long time. I mentioned it yesterday on the show. There's a reporter named Bruce Feldman who does a freak list, and he had Marvin Harrison Jr. at the top of this list, saying he is a combination of size and speed like we've never seen. So everybody, I think people want to see him run a 4.33 at 6'4", 200 pounds. He'd be the reincarnation of Calvin Johnson. He is not doing any of that. He didn't work out at the combine, won't work out at the pro day. Of course, everyone knows what he did at Ohio State, so it's not going to affect his draft spot at all. He'll go 4 or 5 for sure. But I do think that he is really bucking the trend and saying, I'm not going to be like other players. I think you're going to get a player who is going to go, what's the expression, by the beat of his own drum.
Okay.
I do not think he's going to be your average wide receiver. I don't think he's going to do a lot of interviews. I don't think he's going to be the face of a franchise. I think Marvin Harrison Jr., much like his dad, is going to be quiet and just ball out.
Okay, so that's the question. If you think he's going to go to the beat of his own drum and be a little bit of a different dude, do you think this is going to hurt him or the future team he gets drafted to?
No.
Okay, so then why does he have to do any of this?
Because
why does it even matter?
Because I'm a draft fan, and Bruce Feldman told me that he.
So this is about you, not about Maserati Marv.
I listen to these stats. You didn't want to see this. Harrison apparently can bench 380 pounds, squat 500 pounds, and has run 40s in the 4.3 range. I mean, there's never been a prospect like that.
Right.
If he had done all that and put that on display, all of a sudden, I mean, maybe it's fake. We would have been hearing, oh, maybe he jumps the quarterbacks. And now all we're hearing is he might be wide receiver two behind LSU's Malik Nabers, who everyone says is more explosive. So I do think... I think the NFL's smarter than that, but I do think you're going to hear a lot of narrative. Well, you know what? Marvin Harrison, more of a possession guy. Malik Nabers, more of an explosive guy.
Okay, well,
which is interesting to me.
I'll ask you this. I know there's reports that the Vikings could trade up to four, but let's say that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
If I'm Marvin Harrison, maybe it's not a bad thing if Malik Nabers does go before me. Have fun in Arizona. Yeah. I'm going to be over here with the LA Chargers. I'm going to be over here with Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, and maybe I have a better career because I decided not to run the 40 for you guys. If you're going to be that stupid,
yeah,
and you're going to, and if you're a scout or you're a team and you're going to really say, all right, we're going to pass on you because you didn't bench press for us, even though we have two seasons of you at Ohio State being awesome, maybe you deserve what you get, and he'll end up in, yeah, a better spot.
Well, there's a lot of draft rumors that Arizona wants to trade out. Even their GM said we're open for business. So sure, Arizona needs 50 players. Actually, you're absolutely right. That is not a great fit because that's a rebuilding team. He liked a tweet from the Chargers yesterday. Is that the deal, or an Instagram post? Yes, you'd rather be with Justin Herbert in L.A. I don't think Arizona's taking him at four. No matter, I don't think there's any scenario. They'll trade out because they need 50 players. They can't rely on Harrison. I hear you. Nabers, I'm hearing a lot of Nabers as the next Tyreek Hill. Honestly, it's going to be really interesting to watch this draft because Marvin Harrison could have got out, run out 40 and prove it he's that fast, but now we don't know. We don't know, Maggie.
Coming up, we've got sound from Caleb Williams from his pro day yesterday. What did he have to say about his future in the NFL? And again, more on the Shohei Ohtani scandal that is unfolding before our eyes. Get to that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.